The gospel today has really two parts. I want to just say a brief word on the first part, but then really spend the time on the second part. The first part is one of the things that we can sometimes do, we who are religiously observant, is that we can take things which are holy and which are good, and instead of using them for holy purposes, we can use them against one another. So, for example, we might say, well, look, I say the rosary, you don't, I'm better than you. So we commit the sin of pride using the rosary. You see the vision. The devil can take holy things and have us to misappropriate what is good and fall into the sin of pride or of perhaps anger or hatred or rash judgment. Now, what had happened in Jesus' time was the Sabbath observances had become highly technical. So much so that the Sabbath was a dreadful day because there were so many rules and so many things that you could be concerned about that you'd get all worked up and anxious, and then people would go tisk, tisk, tisk. And Jesus steps back and says, wait a minute, the Sabbath was made for man. It's to be a day of rest. He heals a man on the Sabbath. And the Lord says, look, if you had an ox or a donkey or something that fell into a pit, you would rescue the donkey. And here is this man who's been diseased all these years, and you say, I cannot rescue this man? And again, the Lord taught elsewhere, the Sabbath is not against you, it's for you. And so it is, it's important for us to observe Sabbath rest. It's a good thing, it's a holy thing, but we ought not take that which is holy and use it, if you will, in a way which is unholy, to become picky and technical and pick on one another with lots of human traditions. You know, all of the details that they had worked up about Sabbath observances were not in the scripture, were not necessarily of God. They were simply the opinions of rabbis and Pharisees and scribes, but not all of them had God intrinsically said in the scriptures. And so again, the Lord warns the religiously observant. He says, it is a good thing to rest on the Sabbath, and you ought to. But on the other hand, remember, the first law, the first and most important law is that we love one another. And so he heals a man on the Sabbath out of love for that man. Now, the second part is a little more complicated, only in the sense that it just takes a little longer to get through, but I just want to say that there were these people who were trying to find seats of honor. And the Lord warns them about glorifying themselves, that pride goes before a fall. And he warns them and teaches them to start seeing things more as God sees them. Now notice, first of all, if you look at this part of the gospel, there is the person who honors. Most of you, if not all of you, have been to a wedding feast. And generally speaking, although we've become very informal about many things in our culture, there's still something fairly formal about a wedding reception. And generally, you get there and the table is assigned, the seat is assigned, right? You go in there and you find a little card with your name on it and it tells you this table number and so on. And the Lord is basically saying to us, be careful. When you go to a wedding feast, remember it is the host of the party who assigns the seat. Now, the wedding feast is the kingdom of God. That's the wedding feast. And we therefore have to humbly accept this first truth that we do not assign ourselves our own seat in the kingdom. It is God who gives us to each his place and our task and our role. Every now and then, we may grumble about this. You know, in the church today, for example, we hear some who grumble that they can't be ordained, or someone might grumble that some can do this and others can't do that. In our own lives, as we live, you know, I started out in college. When I was a child, I was going to be an airplane pilot. and then I was going to be a firefighter, and then I was going to be a soldier, and then by the time of high school, I wanted to be a doctor, but I wasn't smart enough, you know, to get all the straight A's you need to get. And then I went into college, and I said, I'll become a psychology major. And I said, no, that's not right. And I became a computer science major, and I got a computer science degree, and now I'm a priest. You see, God has a role for all of us, and it's part of our job to discern what God has given us to do. It is wrong for me as a priest to say, oh, gee, I can't be married. It's not fair. God has given me my place. I'm happy to be a priest. I love being a priest. I'd be a fool to think that I could be a full-time priest and also a good father and a decent husband. It's just too much. God has given me my place, and I thank him for it. We all have to find our place in the kingdom of God, in the great wedding feast. We ought to be grateful for having a place and thank God for what he's given us. You see, so the first thing the Lord tells us about honors is that the greatest honor in the kingdom of God is to do what you were made to do. That's the greatest gift, the greatest honor. There's an old saying or an old story about Rabbi Gamaliel. And Gamaliel said, every now and then, he says, I say to myself, how come I'm not more like Moses? Moses was a holy man. Moses was a great man. Why am I not more like Moses? And then I think to myself, I will die one day and appear before God, and God will say to me, Rabbi Eleazar, why were you not more like Rabbi Eleazar? You and I are called to be who we are called to be. It's important for us to find out the man, the woman that God has made us to be. And stop all this, how come I'm not taller? How come I'm not shorter? How come my hair isn't blonde or black? Or how come? Stop all that. I'd like to be thinner. I really would. But I kind of got the same body my father had, and it's kind of in the genetics, you know? I'm going to sort of be stocky. That's just how God made me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So again, we thank God for our seat at the table, and we let him make the assignment. Now, the second teaching I want to give on this part, the second half of the gospel, is the paradox of honors. You know, the Lord talks about people wanting the seats of honor. And what do you and I think of as the seats of honor in this world? You know, if we're worldly minded and we walk into the wedding feast of this world, and what do we notice as the honorable thing? Well, we single out the great leaders, the glitterati, the political leaders, the rich, the famous. The people with all the brains and the brawn and the bucks and the bling, you know, this is what impresses us, right? We're very impressed in our world with the glitterati and the Illuminati and all these fancy leaders and the talking heads, and this really impresses us. And we like to impress each other with big houses and big entourages and big cars and big hair and whatever. We're impressed by this kind of stuff. But you see, in the kingdom of God, what are the seats of honor? What is the highest place in the kingdom of God? You see, do you think God is really impressed with the size of your great room in your 5,000 square foot house with the cathedral ceilings? Do you think God's impressed with how much money you make? Do you think God is impressed with how good looking you are? What impresses God? If God were to walk in, and Jesus does, if he walks into a wedding feast and were to look around the room, who would catch his attention? Would it be the famous person who just walked in and all the cameras are going? Is the Lord impressed with that? Who catches the eye of God? Let me read to you some text in order to answer that question. The Lord says in Mark 10 and verse 43, whoever would be greatest among you must be the servant, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the all, for all, for the many. Rather, and Luke 22 says, rather, let the greatest among you become like the youngest, and the leader is the one who serves. Who do you think is greater, says the Lord, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? But is it not the one who sits at the table in your thinking? But I am among you as one who serves the table. And so it is, the Lord is teaching us, coming into this wedding banquet of the kingdom of God, who catches his eye? Psalm 138 and verse 6 says, the Lord is on high, yet he looks down upon the lowly, but the proud he does not notice. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, God chose those who are foolish and lowborn of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly of this world and even the despised ones and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. James chapter 2 says, listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God? Luke 13, many who are last shall be first. Many who are first in this world shall be last. And finally, Mother Mary said in Luke chapter 1, God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Now, come back with me to the wedding feast. And there's tables of honor. There's the head table where the wedding party is, and the immediate family tables, and a little bit of a pecking order going on there. But God walks into this feast. Who catches his eye? Is it the folks at the head table? I want to suggest to you that the ones who catch his eye are not even at the table. They are the ones who are serving the table, waiting on the tables, pouring the water, bringing the food, cleaning up after everyone has left. You see, the greatest fact about you or me is not that we have money or good looks or power or a big house. The greatest thing you and I do is to serve. We are greatest when we serve. God doesn't care about my money unless I'm using it to serve others. God doesn't care about my leadership ability unless I'm using it to serve others. So if you have wealth, and if you have power, and you know folks who are important, or you're important in this world, just know this, God's not impressed with that unless you're using those things to serve. To serve. The greatest thing we do is to serve. There is nothing greater than to be at the lowest place serving others. And so it is. Just remember, the Lord is trying to say to us today, I'm not impressed by the things that you're impressed by. I'm not fascinated by how well known, how popular anybody is. What I am fascinated by is someone who knows how to put on a towel and wash the feet of the needy, the poor, to wash the feet of their spouse, their children, to wash the feet of co-workers, to care, to serve, and to announce the good news that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Amen.